The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
It's dumb to say that the Bears are ahead of any of those three teams who have had winning records recently and have been really good recently.
What happened the last time the Bears played the Packers? Remind me.
Oh, yes.
Where was that game?
You're really going to say that because the Bears won that game against the Green Bay Packers?
I'm just saying, remind me.
Where do you line these guys up? Boom, 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 boom. Where are the Bears? Last?
The Bears are third.
Third.
The Packers are last.
Okay.
A few moments later.
Breaking news into the NFL Network newsroom. Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer.
Micah Parsons has been sent to the Green Bay Packers.
What happened? What?
This is not a drill. This is not April Fool's Day.
Meaning what?
Layla Rahimi. Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're going to do a segment at the end of this program today called Hot Takes Gone Bad. Marshall Harris, you just got yourself a spot in that segment at 145. So stay tuned for that. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are in for Rahimi and Harris today. When I say we, I mean the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the way we usually begin TTN. What up, Dan? How are you today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Happy Labor Day weekend to you. We obviously got a fun 4 hours together here before we depart into that world. What a day, right? What a time of year, and what a day for us to start to get ready for real regular season NFL football.
It is on the headline of the day to reset for you folks out there who need to hear it word for word. The Dallas Cowboys traded star edge rusher Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers for a first-round pick in 2026 and a first-round pick in 2027 and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. So there it is. The trade has been made. And it hurts to say, but Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And producing today's show here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer, the Take the North podcast. We have today Robbie the Tree. Triano is over there. He's on the phone right now. It's a busy day today. We've got Baby T on the soundboard today. Tyler Farengol is with us. We've got our Twitch producers, our Score video producers, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And you know how it goes here on Rahimi and Harris. We keep the phone lines open, 312-644-6767. We'll probably be more earnest with the phone calls and our second segment of the show. But Dan, I want to ask you this question to begin today's festivities as it pertains to Micah Parsons, and that is this. Who do you believe is the most nervous person at Halas Hall today? Here are your choices. We'll go multiple choice. We're a multiple choice podcast. Ryan Poles, Ben Brown.
No.
I mean, Ben Johnson. Wow. God.
Ben Brown's not nervous at all.
He's always nervous.
He should be nervous, actually. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, or Braxton Jones, who is the most, or whoever, Bears left tackle turns out to be. I guess you could add that to the list. And maybe you have an honorable mention to this list as well. But who should be the most nervous person at the hall this morning?
I'm eliminating Braxton Jones immediately for this reason. The Packers are not on the Bears' schedule until December 7th.
Truth.
So that's like 3 months off. We don't know who the starting left tackle is going to be in week three, much less on December 7th. So Braxton Jones can take a deep breath and not have to worry about Micah Parsons for a long time. I will eliminate next Ben Johnson, because I think Ben has his own self-assurance and confidence in his ability to scheme for other team stars on defense. And I think that he's got proven production on his resume that will allow him to adjust for Micah Parsons' arrival in Green Bay. That leaves us with Caleb, and it leaves us with Ryan Poles.
My gut
is to eliminate Caleb for now, because again, they've got 3 months to get this thing figured out for the first time that they have to play the Packers. It leaves Ryan in a little bit of a push to figure out what he needs to do to strengthen this roster to be competitive in this division, right? Like, I think that's where we're at now, Grody. We're looking up at a division championship team that's taken the North and not given it back. The Detroit Lions won 15 games last year. You're looking up at a Minnesota Vikings team that still has Kevin O'Connell as its head coach, who has gotten the most out of that football team for the 3 years that he's been there. And you're looking up now at a Packers team that you thought might be closer to you in class. And certainly after you went up to their place and beat them last year and made them 1-5 in the North, you thought maybe they're the first team we can leapfrog. And now they go out and get one of the top five defenders in the league. And so I think the pressure immediately is on Ryan Poles to strengthen the roster to be competitive with a division that has shown that they're going after things right now.
Especially when maybe, you know, top three potential issues for the Bears this year, as we've hit people over the head with it, because it's like it's
still an issue
that they don't have somebody that we know for sure at this moment who can, like, nobody can guarantee that somebody on the Bears is going to have double digit sacks.
Right.
It's just impossible to
right.
do that.
Right. Man, like that's a problem, right? In this era of NFL football, disruption on the quarterback is an absolute catalyst to being a really good team. And we've got to figure out if the Bears can do that. You know, we talked in transition about our guy, D.A. Dennis Allen, for those who aren't yet familiar with D.A. He wants to play a certain style of defense, right? And his style of defense is very aggressive. It relies very heavily on man coverage. And for man coverage to work, you have to have consistent pressure on the quarterback. And so you've got to get the production out of the guys you invested in to create that production. When you're in Green Bay and you've got a guy like Parsons, you understand that every single week you've got a weapon, and you use that weapon as best you can to make other offenses and other quarterbacks very uncomfortable. And so now everybody else has got to respond to you, you know, and that's what the Bears have to find. And that's what DA has to find with the guys that are rushing the passer.
This is Raheemy and Harris Show. That's Dan Weider. I'm Mark Grody. We are filling in. Dan and I regularly do the Take the North podcast. Yeah, we'll have some good stuff coming up today. We've got some of our old friends like Prince Amukamara and Kyle Long coming up later on the show. One thing that I have said a couple times, Dan, when we have talked about on the podcast and talked about the idea of Ryan Poles making a big splash move,
yeah.
I have said pretty consistently, and I know you've pushed back a little bit, I've said I think they're a year away from making those moves. Like I said that at the be like I don't think this is the year that they are going to do something grand like the Packers did. And I know your little bit of pushback was look what Khalil Mack meant
sure.
to the 2018 Bears, a bad team in 2017, right? Weren't they bad in 2017?
Yes, absolutely.
They were a bad team in 2017.
That's why they changed coaches. And
then everybody won. Then you had Coach of the Year, Ryan Pace, believe it or not, was the Executive of the Year, whatever that award is, GM of the Year.
Yeah.
And like everybody won because, in large part, because Khalil Mack was the force of what turned out to be an elite 2018 Bears defense.
I am a renowned pusher back or pushbacker? Which one am I? I like to push back a little bit.
Pusher backer, yeah.
In
backer
this,
of pushes.
In this particular case, I don't push back on you that much on
we're
this
not,
one because I don't.
We're not
I don't,
an arguing podcast, but it was you were a little bit more like, hey.
I don't think the Bears are positioned or ready to go after it right now. Like, I think there's just too much that has to fall into place.
Okay, so
before
you are
ready.
On that page.
Yeah, so
okay.
I think that they are a year away from that. I'm on that page there. Now, I will say that the jolt that the 2018 Bears got from that Saturday morning, Labor Day weekend, 2018, like we can all, everybody in Chicago can tell you where they were when they first got that piece of information, right, and what they did with it. And as somebody who is a, you know, I guess you'd say notorious pump the brakes guy, with fans in the city, I couldn't find many reasons on the morning of the Mac trade to pump the brakes, right? Like, you go through it and you're like, young guy in his prime. Yes, you had to give up some draft capital and you had to pay some money to this guy to come join your team.
You've got some good products there already on that defense.
Right. It was an ascending defense.
Team Hicks.
Yeah. Eddie Jackson was at the peak of his career.
Superstar.
I mean, you had a linebacking core that could do some damage, and Eddie Goldman was up front, and everything else that you had there. You're like, this can only make a very good defense better. And then amazingly, we go from Khalil Mack's introductory press conference on a Sunday, 1 week later to Lambeau Field, and you're like, oh, this impact was instant, right? Like within two drives, it was instant. And you're like, okay, this wasn't just all chatter. This is real live, all pro impact from a guy that can change the trajectory of the season. It is still the best and most visited place in the Cold Tub Time Machine. For those of you who follow the Take the North podcast, we go back to 2018 a lot in the Cold Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, we don't do 85 Bears. We do 2018 Bears. We're very modern.
Very modern with that trip. Yeah. And so like, if people in Green Bay and people in Wisconsin are dreaming those dreams today, completely understand.
Do you remember when Roquan Smith was dialed up on his first play as he entered the game, and Vic Fangio, remember Vic Fangio, VF, if you wanted to keep doing the initials, the Fange man? Yeah.
You remember Aaron Lynch?
Of course.
I think, was he
at the defensive end.
Yeah, yeah. And notorious for, or renowned, I guess is a better way to put it, for being a good quote in the locker room.
Oh, he was the best, man.
He called, I think he called Vic a MF and gangster or something like that. Like, so that's how we're going to refer to Vic going forward, is MF and gangster.
I love Aaron Lynch. Dispensary guy. Yeah. Good dude. Good dude. Loved him.
But yeah, look, like, and we talked about the price. Here's a good story. We may have shared this on the podcast one time. George McCaskey tells the story of when they were in line to get Khalil Mack, and he said he had to go to his mom and say,
"Mom,
hey, Mom, Ryan is trying to trade for Khalil Mack. It's going to cost us two first-round picks." And she said, "If Ryan believes that's the answer to make this team a contender, then go ahead and do it." He said, and then he went back and he talked to Ted Phillips, and Ted said, "It's going to cost us $90 million in guaranteed money." And he said, "Mom can read about that in the paper."
Oh, man, that's wild. And that trade, just as a refresher, it was, and I'll read the Micah Parsons one again, too, just to
please
top
do
it.
Please
but,
do.
But, yeah, so, and I want to hear what Dan's reaction is, because this is the trade, the Khalil Mack trade, September 1, that's the way I talk, 2018 is when the deal went down. In 2019... a 2019 first-round pick. This is what the Bears are giving up for Khalil Mack. A 2020 first-round pick. Mm-hmm. A 2020 third-round pick. A 2019 sixth-round pick. And then 6 years and $141 million. Wasn't that the initial bundle that he got, $141?
Yeah. It was 90 and guaranteed. And for a day, I think he was the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history until Aaron Donald signed.
Oh, yeah.
That same month.
Okay. Okay. And then did Mack then sit out at training camp and pout about it? The Dallas Cowboys trade was Parsons to Green Bay for a first round pick in 2026, first round pick in 2027, and then the big difference is
a lot of money.
The money, and then defensive tackle Kenny Clark. The Bears did not give up a player asset in this particular trade.
As we talked about in transition, I don't think that's a small deal, because, you know, we're going to talk later about how aggressive should the Bears have been when the Micah Parsons discontent became pretty apparent. And you have costs, right? And the costs are what you just named in draft capital. The costs are the $136 million in guaranteed money that you have to pay Micah Parsons. The costs are also that you're giving up a established, proven, really good starter for your defensive front, like the Packers did. And so, you know, that's a big deal, right? Like, that's a big part of the price tag. Now, I always say, if you want nice things in life, you got to pay for them, right? Like, and you can't just be conservative and cheap and say, well, we want to be great and we want to do this and that and not be willing to go to those lengths. So you give the Packers credit for their aggression. They obviously see an opening. They see a window of opportunity here, and they're going to attack. I always love teams that feel like they have the juice to go for it. The Packers clearly feel like they have the juice to go for it now, and we'll see where this pans out. What I would ask you is, we cannot deny what 2018 was for Chicago, right? It's a division championship season. The Bears are in the playoffs. They're a kick away from advancing in the playoffs. And you're like, that was unreal to see what Khalil Mack did to be a catalyst of some of that. 4 years later, he leaves, and they never won a playoff game while he was here. So in retrospect, was that trade worth it for the Bears? They got that one season, and Bears fans love that one season every decade, right? Like, well, that you can lean into and hug. But beyond that, there was no high-level sustained success. And and you look back and you go, damn.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that's a good question for fans, too, because it was a blast of a season. It was so fun.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, especially relative to all the other years, Dan, because you've been on the beat a lot longer than I have, and we don't have to go through that. But you are...
Let's go through all the losses.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So it was, that season was just, in so many ways, it was just so fun with... Even with Matt Nagy and the crazy plays that he was calling, and seeing Eddie Jackson become an all-pro, and Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, and like Akeem Hicks may have been my favorite out of the whole bunch, you know, in terms of the impact. So
and a guy who benefited from Mack's arrival, right? Like,
don't tell him that.
I was just going to say, never really liked admitting that, but obviously those two guys in tandem worked well together. Do you remember the hashtag Bears Dance to Anything? There was a well thought out end zone celebration for every time they visited the end zone, particularly on defense.
Led by who?
Well, let's talk to him later today.
Yeah, Prince Amukamara was the choreographer. Is that the right word?
He had a lot of creativity in the celebration chats. Let's bring that up.
Yeah, we will. We will. Prince Amukamara will join us at 1:25. We got Kyle Long at noon, and coming up next, we'd love to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Getting a bunch of text messages as well. 312-644-6767. Ask Take the North. We'll throw a couple things out there. If you just have a Bears question for us, we'll do Ask Take the North throughout the show. And, hey, it's not that difficult. Just spilled my Topo Chico all over the place. Okay, we have an actual...
It's the last one in the building, too. It's the last one.
Oh, man. It's just a little bit. Oh, my God. It's sparkling all over the place. Oh, no. There's Mitch. We got trouble.
How do we get more of that?
It's just water. It's just water. Oh, my God. This little baby bottle of Topo Chico just spilled on my... Guys, I need help. And just what do you think? What do you think about Micah Parsons, the Packer? Are you mad? Are you scared? How are you feeling today relative to how you were feeling the previous day?
Given what just happened, I'm scared.
I mean, is this not the epitome of it right here? I done spilled my Topo Chico. 312-644-6767 is the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Rohde, on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
You know, it's funny. I think it was just yesterday on the Raheem and Harris Show that I uttered something to Marshall about, as we get closer to the season, that quote scares me more and more. I am really frightened now when I hear that. And it also makes me think there are certain things that the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson, has said that just aren't aging well, that are not aging well. He said the things that he has to say as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, but they don't sound as well today because Micah Parsons is with the Green Bay Packers. As we welcome you back into the Raheem and Harris Show, I'm Mark Rohde. That guy is Dan Weider.
One thing that I think Ben would probably tell you is he's probably more energized than he was yesterday.
You know, that's a great point.
I think that's the way he's wired. And you hear that clip there, and that was totally unsolicited. It was just it was a moment for Ben to obviously give the Bears fans what they wanted to hear on his first day on the job. But it's also, I think, his sort of way of letting the world know that he's not afraid to kind of kick at a hornet's nest for sport. Like, I think Ben likes being a little bit of a competitive antagonist and then taking his chances when he's got to back up what he says. And so I think he's probably pretty excited to, in some regard, that the degree of difficulty for him got a little harder, because I think that's who he is.
This hour is being sponsored by almostfreeteeth.com, affordable implants, life-changing smiles. We've got some other things here now. Now we're starting to create a list of things that haven't necessarily aged well before the Bears have even played a single game this season. But before we do that, we did say that we were going to take some phone calls and read some of your text messages, 312-644-6767. If you'd like to get in, you could ask Take the North if you've got a question for Dan or me on anything Bears related, or just your thoughts on the Green Bay Packers getting Micah Parsons for their team to add to Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will make Lucas Van Ness bigger and better. The kid out of Iowa, local product too. Here, he's in our from our backyard is big Lucas Van Ness, the hockey player. Did he play hockey? He was a hockey player in high school. Yeah. I think I remember talking to him at the combine. He's like a 6'7" hockey player.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'll fact check myself on that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one. Let's go to Will from the South Side. What's up, Will? You are on the Raheem and Harris Show on the Score with Weedsy and Grody.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you, Will?
Not bad. I was just calling in because it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. Like, the same move that, like, if we go out and get Colston, Loveland, and Burton, then it's like, this is Ben Johnson's team. He's picking the guys that is going to formulate his offense. And then a month later, you look at some of the picks that's made that were definitely Johnson picks, and it's like we ready to the rotisserie grill poles over it. Like, you know, so I'm just saying, we can't have it both ways, guys. When they make these picks, and you know, you're talking about how this could be a big, you know, 12 package with Colston Loveland, and then a month later we saying that the guy Banks is the best blocker that was in the draft, you know, and we still don't have this left. I just think that I hate to use the word that everybody hated last year, but guys, it's a collaborative effort.
Ooh.
Okay? It's not like it's one guy's team when on the days that the offense looked good, and it's the general manager's team when the offensive line looked bad. I mean, somebody either pick a lane. Either it's Johnson's team, it's Poe's team, or it's a McCaskey team, and they just working together. But I just think we're doing a double-edged sword when it comes to some of these picks and some of these decisions that we make.
Well, I guess we could say that. And Will, thanks for the call, man. It's a good call. But I think that we're going to find out this year. You know what I mean? Like, it's look, Ryan Poles just got an extension, so he is getting a fresh start this year. Like, that's the way the Bears are looking at it. Dan, how much of, like, let's just look at the first few picks for the Bears. Colston Loveland, obviously Luther Burden, and Ozzie Trapillo. It's very, like, it is something that we have all sort of uttered. Like, did Ben Johnson have his paws on this draft? Like, do we turn to Ben Johnson? Is he the one that is culpable for what goes on with the draft, or more input relative to, say, Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, I mean, I think we still have to feel that out a little bit. I appreciate some of Will's sentiments there. And I think, like, you've heard me say since May that I think the Bears would have been happier if they had walked out of those first two draft picks with Kelvin Banks and Trevion Henderson as opposed to Colston Loveland and Luther Burden III. I'm not disparaging either of those guys. I think both guys have a chance to be really good players. I think Colston Loveland can have a very instant impact in this Bears offense. But I think that if you put everybody in that draft room under truth serum and said, would you have signed up for the combination of Kelvin Banks and Trevion Henderson when the draft began? They would say what you're doing right now. Hard nod, no question about it.
Because everybody had Kelvin Banks down as their in their mock drafts.
Premium talents at positions in need. And I know there's always the debate every year of you got to go best player available, you got to go best player available. If guys are in a similar range, you try to take a guy that can help you, right? Like, and so this is where you're in a bit of a jam now, because here we are, Grody, on the eve of September with the season opener now, I guess, 10 days away. We still have no clue who's going to be starting for the Bears at left tackle when we get to October. they wanted in the spring to have that figured out. They wanted at the latest, you know, 2 weeks into training camp, to have that starting offensive line solidified and be like, yep, here's our five, we're rolling. And now the tunes have changed on that. The tone has changed on that. Trevion Henderson, about to make a huge impact in New England, reunited with Josh McDaniel, or united with Josh McDaniel in an offense that's going to use him. And you think, we're sitting here in Chicago talking about, is there any depth in the backfield behind DeAndre Swift? There could have been. Both those players that we just mentioned went one pick ahead of the Bears. We know that they were active in trying to get up to, you know, one pick to try to trade up to take Trevion Henderson. We don't know how patient they were going to be to let Kelvin Banks fall in their lap. But I really do think that's a conversation that at this time of year is worth having, because I think those two guys and those two draft picks married up with Will's call would have changed the outlook for the offense this season.
It'd be a lot easier, right? I mean, it wouldn't be. I mean, they're a little bit. They are a little bit behind. And you know, I've been pretty consistent in saying that while I am not happy that the Bears don't have a starting left tackle, I am happy that they have made this a legitimate open competition. That they have realized that, I mean, they're telling us right now that nobody is good enough to be their left tackle at this moment.
I mean, it's a starter by default, right?
Yeah. Like,
because you have to start someone will start.
The standard is high, which is a consolation prize. You know what I mean? Like, Bears fans don't want to hear that. They want to hear Ozzie Trapillo's the damn left tackle. They want to hear Braxton Jones is good. He's fully
injuries
rehab.
Behind him.
Injuries
yeah.
behind him. He's good to go. Put him in there. They want to hear, oh, we moved Darnell Wright. They want, everybody wanted this done. I'm just glad that they haven't forced something, because we've seen that too much in the past as it pertains to offensive line or just in positions that have high draft picks where you got to put that guy in because he was drafted there, and you try to get him going during the training camp, but it hasn't happened. So I do appreciate that part.
By the way, you asked me in the last segment who should be the most nervous at Hallis Hall with the Parsons trade. Whether
the candidates are Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, Caleb Williams, and Braxton Jones.
Little footnote to all of this.
You're going to footnote me now.
I'm going to footnote you.
Wow, footnoting already.
The Cowboys are scheduled to come in here to Soldier Field in 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Week three here. So the Bears basically just bought 11 weeks to prepare for Micah Parsons. They're going to have to play him twice.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. We don't even know if Flus and Micah got close enough for him to have a nickname. But you know, like, so all these guys now just got Micah Parsons off the schedule for September, right? Like, so now they actually got a little breathing room.
Look at it that way.
And then they're going to have to face him twice in December. So that's a little interesting nugget. Here's another little interesting footnote on this.
Okay.
You know who was picked one selection ahead of Micah Parsons in the 2021 NFL draft?
Who?
Justin Fields.
Wow. Yeah, 2022 was great, man.
And 2021's another. This like circles you back to the Cowboys. I'm like, okay, so you found a guy at pick 12.
Got a guy
who became a cornerstone impact All Pro at one of the premium positions in the league, and you mismanaged it so badly that you had to trade him, right? Like, before you could get him to a second contract. Like, that has to sting in Dallas today. I know that they'll rationalize it and say we got all this back in return.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Honestly, I tuned in to Dallas Sports Radio today, and they were at the moment, and I know that, look, we'll veer off the Bears,
is there
too.
Fury?
They were talking about hook 'em horns.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Like, horns up, horns down. Texas going to win this game? I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, they got a big game.
Didn't you just trade one of the best defensive players the franchise has had since, I don't know, Ed Too Tall Jones?
But like,
joke.
Us in Chicago understand dysfunction, right? Like, that is documented dysfunction when you can't get something done with a star that you drafted and developed, right? Like,
yeah,
like, you got to make that guy a cornerstone of your Super Bowl pursuit, and the Cowboys couldn't get it done, and now they've got to reboot as the Packers get richer.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on the Raheemy and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Dan Weeder are in for Raheemy and Harris today. We've got coming up a little bit later on, we've got Kyle Long at noon, Prince Amukamara at 125. Both those guys obviously played with Khalil Mack, so they know the impact that a guy like that makes. Let's take a look at a couple more of these things that we were just going through that didn't necessarily age well. How about the best example of them all? I'm just going to go right to it. I'm not going to make people wait, but there was something that that Ryan Poles uttered once upon a time ago That well, it hasn't been aging well for a long time. Now it's elderly. It's going to a home right now. It's going to a senior citizen's home right at this very moment.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Damn it. And we have a podcast that has sprouted.
Yeah, without that clip, you guys don't have a podcast.
Yeah, we're not sitting here. We are not sitting here today if it wasn't for that clip. Because it was the name first, and then, oh, yeah, let's build a podcast around that name.
And at the time that the name was put in, it was like, okay, they're going to take the North and never give it back. Yeah. There was belief in that. And now here we are 3 years later, and we're like, when are you going to take the North?
Right. And now have you handed the North? Now has it gone from Minnesota to Green Bay? Or Detroit.
Detroit's trying not to give it back.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, Detroit won the division last year, or was it Minnesota?
Detroit, two years ago.
Oh, yeah, and the year before that.
Yeah, look at Robbie. I just wanted to wake Robbie up over there. It's like, Bowie, here's Detroit. It was Detroit.
It wasn't Green Bay, thankfully.
Yeah, it was not. Will it be this year, baby T?
No.
Okay.
Packers went 0-6 last year against teams in the NFC with a better record than them. That's two losses to the Vikings, two losses to the Lions, and including the playoffs, two losses to the Eagles. And so they understand that they got to make up some ground, hence the aggression with this trade.
The Eagles. What else hasn't aged well? How about left tackle?
I think we're going to have a starter week one, and we'll go from there. So that's I said it a few weeks ago, and we feel good about the guys we have in that room. Someone's going to take the bull by the horns and is going to completely take over. But we're not afraid to make a change if the performance isn't where it needs to be.
And that's very different from the beginning of the season when they were, of course, best intentions were or desirous of having that the offensive line set. What, maybe like by week two of training camp, like being generous?
Right. Yeah. Let's get those five solidified, know who they are, and then march forward from there. And now it's like, well, we're going to start someone and then we're going to evaluate them and see if they deserve to keep starting.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got more examples of that and more of your calls if you so desire at 312-644-6767, the number. We've got, by the way, we've shuffled some things around today on this very unique day on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score because of the breaking news. We will have five on it at 11 a.m. this morning. And like I said, Kyle Long, noon. Cassie Carlson, 125 is Prince Amuk Amara. So jump on in with us if you would like. 312-644-6767, Rahimi and Harris Show with Dan Weider and me, Mark Grody, on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, without being too broad, obviously, we did think it was in the best interest of our organization, not only the future, but right now, this season as well. We've gained a Pro Bowl player. We've gained a Pro Bowl player in an area that we had big concerns on the inside of our defense.
That is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. It is Jerry Jones talking about his prized possession moving elsewhere. Micah Parsons traded to the Packers, and yeah, Jerry Jones gets a couple of first-round picks, first-rounder in 2026, first-rounder in 2027, and that Pro Bowler to whom he was referring, that would be defensive tackle Kenny Clark. It is the Rahimi and Harris Show here on The Score. Mark Grody and Dan Weider. If you like what you're hearing here today, Dan and I do the Take the North podcast. You can check it out anywhere you get your podcasts, and you should subscribe, because if you subscribe, then you immediately get an alert on your phone that tells you you should listen to that particular podcast. So we certainly welcome you to do that. Also, a big welcome to one of our newest partners, Josh Grubbs from Black Lung Brewing. He just opened his third tap room in Grays Lake, and check this out. They dropped up some swag. Robbie the Tree over there, had one of their beers yesterday, and word is he was raving about it.
Yeah, I have right now in my hand a first available, a pale ale. It's delicious. So if you are out there, go and get some of that Black Lung.
and he is drunk as a skunk right now.
Starting the weekend early. No,
that's not from the booze or the beer. That's from the Jack Daniels he rolled in with this morning. That was.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're taking the North.
You know, I like to make my rounds on the travel baseball circuit in the spring and early summer. We were up in Lake Villa, and the Black Lung Brewing Company had a big banner on the outfield fence.
Oh, nice.
I remember seeing that and being like, I wonder what that's all about. And I learned a little bit more today, so shout out to them. Shout out to Robbie for pounding that six-pack during the break.
That's amazing. That's
four-pack, I guess.
Yeah, he's just, you know, hey, indulge. Why not? It's all good. 312-644-6767. Get to more of your calls here in a second, but I don't know, man. It was a shocker that Jerry Jones pulled this off, and we'll get to some of that later with some of the people who were, unfortunately, and we are all wrong in this business sometimes. Dan, what was your reaction, like, immediately when you heard this and saw that this was actually going down?
I mean, you're just kind of processing it all, and you know initially that there's going to be a knee-jerk overreaction, right? Like, that's just what we do in culture nowadays. Something happens and everybody goes, oh, God! And then it's, you know, everything's over the top, and then it comes back to where it should be. And you just, obviously, adding Parsons to the division just changes the theater of the division, right? And particularly with how difficult the Bears' climb is to be relevant in this division. That was my first thought, was like, oh, it just got tougher, because I felt like the Packers were the easiest to catch in the chase, and now they're getting further away from you.
We were kind of sniffing this out a little bit yesterday on the Raheem and Harris show. Marshall and I were doing the gig yesterday, and we had Mike Florio on. Check it out. Are the Cowboys committed to not trading Micah Parsons, unless obviously they're blown away? And have you heard anything about the Green Bay Packers maybe being interested in Micah Parsons?
You know, there's enough noise on social media that I started to poke around about that today, and this is an item that I haven't had time to post yet on PFT. So,
oh, exclusive.
This is new.
Nice.
For the score. It's coming after I have my lunch, as we've documented.
Yes.
I lay my lunch and go after the spot.
We'll get to that later. Yeah.
Spot, then lunch, then story. Sick. But I'm told the Packers are interested, but it's not to the same level as the smoke would suggest. And look, the Cowboys have to be willing to trade him. Look at it this way. And I firmly believe the Cowboys want to kick the can through 2025 as to his salary and as to a potential trade. Because what are you going to get for him now? Oh, two first-round picks plus. Okay, when do I use those picks? I don't use them until April 2026 at the earliest. Why would I trade him now? I'll trade him in March. I get the same return if I trade him later.
That will feel good, though, for Dallas when the time comes. And I'm sure it's, like I said, I haven't really heard the whole fan reaction, because they were talking about hook 'em horns on the radio in Dallas today for some reason when I turned it on. But eventually having two picks in the first round of 26 and 27 will help Dallas. And they've been such a regular season team, I guess would be the best way to put it, even going back to Tony Romo, that they don't get over the hump. So dare I say that while you probably shouldn't get rid of an edge rusher and who is 26 years old in this life, have the Dallas Cowboys been able to get over the hump doing it their way through the years? And the answer is no. And there is a certain expectation in Dallas.
If I was the owner of the Cowboys, I would put a very critical eye on the evaluation of my general manager. In this case, it's the same guy.
Yeah, it is.
We got problems there.
You put
right?
him on the bubble? Is he on the bubble officially?
I would have a conversation in the mirror trying to figure out how did this go wrong, Jerry? I don't know, Jerry. I gotta figure this out here. I thought we had this under control.
To Michael?
Micah. Michael Parsons.
You was calling him Michael Parsons. Danny Parsons?
It's just like, it's a mismanagement,
like
right?
Like sex. Danny Parkins, like when the Khalil Mack trade went down, Grody, get up, get out of bed. We got to go to the studio. We're going to do a 5-hour show.
No, it's like the idea of Danny Parsons.
Yeah, Danny Parsons. Somebody did call him Parsons at one point in time.
Did you come in here on the morning of September 1st, 2018?
Oh, yeah.
You rolled?
Parsons and I, for real. Danny Parsons and I. Parsons used to work. No, Danny Parkins. And I came in and took over the radio station for 5 hours. Maybe it was 4 hours. I like hyperbole.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Rich Campbell and I did a Real Talk. That was the old back and forth format that we would have.
The little back and forth in the paper.
Yeah.
Thing.
What does this mean for the Bears? And then we spit it out quick, and it was probably one of the top five read things that I wrote during my 12 years at the Tribune, right? Like, that's how excited Chicago was for what that arrival was. And, you know, I can't fathom people in Dallas not being more bitter about losing a star, right? Like on the eve of the season, losing a star that I don't know. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs of the drama, the contract negotiations, but you just feel like there had to be an easier path to reconciliation.
I'm sure there was a certain section of fans that were getting, and understandably, I'm not ripping these fans, who were tired of the act, probably. You know what I mean? Like, players got to do what they got to do, but when you got a star player who is holding in, that does create some resentment within the fan base.
Let's understand this too. The market for premier pass rushers has exploded, right? Like, I think in March, Myles Garrett was getting $40 million average annual value in the new deal he signed, and now Parsons takes it up to $47 million. So if you've got a premier edge rusher on your roster, start stashing away some money.
Well, Myles Garrett is
you're
like
gonna have to pay him.
He's like the anti Micah Parsons, because it looked like he was going to be traded too, and then all of a sudden, hey, we've got the money, we're good to go, everybody is happy.
Yeah.
This is the Raheemi and Harris Show. Mark Grody and Dan Weider are in for Raheemi and Harris here today, and coming up next, we're going to blow your mind if you are into the clock that usually happens on the Raheemi and Harris Show, because we're doing five on it next here, because we've got other things we've got to get to on the program today. So five on it is next on the Raheemi and Harris Show on The Score.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.